The 2026 FIFA World Cup meal at McDonald's is underway with one of nine legendary cups in the lineup. Christian Pulisic, David Beckham, Lamine Yamal, Ronaldinho, Thierry Henry, Son Heung-min, Alfonso Davies, Santi Jimenez, and between the posts, it's Grimace! Get one of nine collectible cups with a FIFA World Cup meal
at participating McDonald's for a limited time while supplies last. All rights reserved. 2026 McDonald's at FIFA World Cup 2026.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio. Make sure to check out our episodes. We have tons of episodes already out. And this one, we're going to be talking about Stranger Than Heaven. And joining me, we have Brittany, a.k.a. Blonde Nerd.
That's me, not how Brunette you, Nerd.
Not Brunette Nerd.
No.
How you been?
I've been good, dude. It's been, Summer Game Fest was phenomenal. So much fun. Loved hanging out with you and Rhi and that idiot Paris a whole bunch. But yeah, man, it's a lot of work. The post showcase stuff is a lot, but fun.
But fun. I think this has been my favorite Summer Game Fest with the amount of announcements and the right amount of games that I feel like it's good, I think.
This was the best overall. I think, hands down. Yeah, Jeff did a really great job. Everything ran super smoothly. The games were awesome. The announcements were good. The appointments went well. Yeah, it was great.
Definitely. So we're going to be talking about Stranger Than Heaven. Once again, thanks to Sega for giving us the opportunity. Their booth, they had a lot of good stuff in there this year. Lots. But let's talk about this, let's talk about this, Britt.
Uh-huh.
So Stranger Than Heaven, I know you're a Yakuza fan. When this was announced, how excited were you? And now that you got a chance to check it out in person, do you feel the same way about the game?
Yeah, it's hard to say. Obviously, anything RGG touches, I worship, right? I'm excited for the team that they get to do something else, flex their muscles a little differently. I always think that's a very cool thing when, you know, devs get to do that. And I'm mostly excited for the story of these games. Combat has never been my thing, my man. I'm a button masher to my core. I don't try to be strategic. It's just not who I am. Mm-hmm. So this demo was interesting because I had kind of hoped that we'd be able to wander around and talk to people and get a lay of the land in terms of how the towns felt, what the NPCs said and did. But this demo was purely based off of combat. And it was funny because I think you and I talked about this too. All of the rumblings around those who had already played the demo were talking about how hard it was.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Mm-hmm. So for those who don't know, we go inside. I love the theme, by the way. We go in the theme of that era, right? So we went to this spot. We got the hands-on. When we get to play the demo, it started off with beginner, I believe, intermediate.
Intermediate and then advanced.
Now, when the advanced one was like a mini boss, I guess, right? So there's like no story, but each difficulty, it had like a different era when you go and play, right? So the first time I played that mini boss towards the end, the highest, hardest difficulty, I almost beat him in first try. I was like, no, I'm dead serious. I was inches away of like, he got me with one of the final kill.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have no more health, you know, so
yeah. I think we should back up, though, because the reason it's so difficult is because the combat in this game is so different than anything I've ever played before, and you have to completely relearn what you do. And so it's not like, you know, other fighting games where you push X to mash, you have a light attack or strong attack. So you have the LB and LT, RB, RT. So LB, LT controls the left side of Daito's body and RB, RT the right side. So, you know, you can grapple, you can kick. And so you can't just hit a button and hope for the best, right? So you really have to learn, like, if I want to grab the enemy and he's coming at me from the right side, I better push the left shoulder buttons so in order I can punch him and try to dodge. And you always want to be moving with A and the directional button, and you always want to be blocking, right? And so it's interesting about the blocking too, because if you don't, you're dead. You're just going to die. When you block, you hold B, but then while you're holding B, you can actually push LB or RB, and then you will block specifically with those arms.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hit it just right, you're going to have an awesome counter, which is going to briefly stun the enemy. And then if you get the enemy's stamina in the red, then you can pull off an awesome, you know, critical attack where you push the two RTLTs buttons. But so it was a lot different. And I first went into that, Danny, button mashing and hoping for the best. Can't say it really went well for me.
Yeah. And I get where you're coming from. I think One thing that I had to get used to, because I was doing parry a lot too, I had to figure out when he would hit me with the heavy, movements, right? So like a heavy punch or heavy kick.
Yeah.
And I noticed later in the, during the demo that there's a, you know, he hits you, it's fine. But if he hits you like with a harder, like a stronger punch or kick, there's like an image, like a red arrow will pop up. That means, okay, he's going to hit you like really hard. So that's the time to parry, because that's when you could stun him and he'd be like, okay, you know, so, but I had to get used to that towards the end, you know? So, I mean, you will figure it out in the first two difficulties, when to do it and so on. But the thing is, he is a lot stronger compared to the other enemies that we were
fighting. Wouldn't think so. He's this little wiry dude, right? And but he is fast. Yeah, so it's interesting because the first fight, it was just a bunch of regular enemies, regular dudes that you would find on the street, right? And that took place in Kokura, which is 1915. And so you're just fighting these dudes. You don't really have any weapons with you. There are weapons on the ground you can pick up with LT. And you can swing those. It was like a sake cup or a stool or a crate. Nothing crazy like you would find in the Like a Dragon games. And that's actually something I'll talk about later. But you could pick those up. And, you know, that one was relatively easy. And then the next one, the next fight takes place in Kurei, which is in 1929. And you have a few of the regular dudes. But then you have this dude. Did you see him? He was like 10 feet tall.
Really big. He was really big. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I saved him for last. You know that?
Me too.
I was like, because I'm like, yo, let me handle these other guys. It's a little bit easier than him. But once it was him, I had to like really think about, okay, how I'm going to attack this guy. Because this guy
I just whipped out the crowbar.
You know what? I did pick up some. I think I did that too.
So you have the weapons too. And so you have a knife. You had a knife and a crowbar. The crowbar was really slow. So that means that wasn't even an option against the final guy because he was too fast. But with a big beefy dude, I was able to smack the crap out of him with the crowbar. But the knife I used on the little guys, and I was able to pick them off and dodge them. So like you, all I had left was the big guy. And then I was able to smack him around. And then you get like prepared, you get ready for it. And then that last dude, man, he would one hit me when I still had like 50% health.
Yeah,
but I think
the way how I beat him, because he's slow, by the way. He is very slow compared to the other characters, the other enemies. So the last guy. I will go and try to go from the back and hit and attack him from the back. That's how I figured that out. Like, okay,
the small guy, the little fast?
No, the big guy.
Okay, that's what you're talking about. All right.
The big, gigantic guy. Like, he was just slow. He was very strong, though. He would punch you and take you a lot of health.
Oh, yeah.
From you, you know? So,
but you could heal, and you could... Once I kind of figured out the stamina, too, that was really helpful. So, you have this gauge, right, in the bottom left corner of the UI, and it, you know, flashes as your stamina goes from full to yellow to red. And the enemies have the same exact thing, too. So, you want to make sure, you know, as you're blocking, as you're dodging, as you're getting hit, that you're keeping your stamina up. Because otherwise, your block's not going to do anything, right? And so, that was really helpful once I got that down. And then once I, like, started healing more often and learning when you needed to heal. But it's not like, again, like a Dragon games where you, you know, stop and then you can pause the menu and then heal. You have to give yourself space to heal. Because if you're in the middle of the animation and you get smacked, well, guess what?
Yeah, yeah. So let's go to the third difficulty. So one thing I did notice that at first I'm like, oh, he's just there resting, whatever. So he will kneel down with his knife trying to block so you don't hit him. If you hit him, he will attack you. So, but if you just leave him alone, he will start to drink and get his health back.
Yes.
And I hated that part. I was like, I got to attack him. I got to figure this thing out. So I waited until he put his knife down, his sword down. And that's when I'll attack him because he's going to try to pick up that bottle, but I won't let him.
You have to learn the tell sign. You have to learn when they're going to do what they're going to do. So you're going to fail a lot, I think. But it's like any other boss game, right? Or boss fight. Once you learn what to do and how to fight them, then it's now it's fun. Now you just have to time everything right. I am the queen of cheese. And so I was trying to cheese this guy a little bit. I would get him because we were playing in Osaka and there's the bridges right there. And I would try to get him against the side of the bridge and kind of smack on him a little bit. But then I, you know, thought that wasn't probably the right way to do it. But yeah, I found out too, when he would get ready to do a really strong attack, I would actually back away from him. And then that would cancel the attack. And then he would start walking towards me. And I was like, haha, that's what helped me.
Now, and this is going to be my last question here. As a fan of the series, do you see yourself actually playing this to learn more about the story, or because you I know you're a fan of the studio, do you see yourself doing that?
Oh, yeah. So yeah. This main character, you know, this is the founding of the Tojo clan, which, you know, we had hoped there would be a tie-in to the series, the Yakuza Like a Dragon series, and clearly there is. And so I'm dying to play just for that reason alone. But I'm also really curious to see what these other locations look like in all these different time periods and see how they evolve and how they change and figure out more about Daito. And, you know, it was interesting for me playing this because when you play Like a Dragon, you're used to the over-the-top cinematics, the silliness, the wackiness of it. And this game very much does not have that. As what I've seen so far, now I'm not saying in the full game it won't have those moments of levity, I'm sure it will, but even everything from the UI during combat, you know, regular Like a Dragon, you have health bars and it's colorful. And here it feels almost like it's not very bright colored and the health bar is just a white circle, right? It's just a white circle above the enemy's heads. And the animations, mm-hmm. when you're smacking folks, it's not crazy and hilarious like you would expect out of an action movie from Like a Dragon. So it's been interesting to see the tone. Now, granted, I need to play a lot more of it, but I'm, yeah, again, really excited for the story just because it's the founding of the Tojo clan. But also, it's cool to see what RGG can do outside of Like a Dragon. And obviously, they do other things, too, but that's what I know them for.
Now, my last, and I forgot to ask this question. Huh? Your thoughts about Snoop Dogg and Tupac in the game.
Oh, boy. So Snoop being in the game, like, that was like, oh, that's kind of cool, whatever. And then I watched the showcase on Stranger Than Heaven, and it talked about his character. I mean, Snoop's son is in the game. And I was like, yeah, like, you know, considering where this narrative is going, like, this makes sense. All I ever want is for things to make sense and not feel so out there that it's immersion breaking. Mm-hmm. Now, with Pac being in the game, that's tricky because I'm seeing a lot of conflicting information come out from people who have been able to talk to RGG. You know, at first it was, we talked to the estate, we got permission. And then it was, but the estate actually is in good terms with Pac's family. And then it was, well, we actually talked to Pac's family and we talked to the estate and we got permission along the way because we wanted to envision what Tupac might be like in today's world. And I'm like, that just feels like a weird thing to strive for, but mm-hmm. whatever. I mean, I don't know how it's not going to be wild when you see him come into frame the first time. And I don't know how you're not going to realize, like, this is you, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I completely. It was odd seeing Tupac on screen. I'm like, wait, what? And the thing that was very, very worried, like, yo, I hope to God it's not no AI. I hope to God, like, that would be even worse.
Yeah.
But I know, hearing from other people that been talking to during Summer Game Fest, they said that there is an actor that played as Pac before. That he is the one that's going to be doing the voice for this character, which is good, but I still find it weird. You know, it's like, I just need to learn more. And look, if the family and the state and everybody's cool with it, I'm like, yo, I'm okay. Like, do your thing. But
yeah,
it is weird.
It would be nice to get something directly from the family. Now, whether or not they're going to concern themselves with this matter, who knows? Because all we're getting are people's opinions and some facts, you know, on what the estate is ran by. But I'm sure you heard this, but my understanding is that Orpheus is Snoop's character. And there's a certain partnership he has with another character. And they were kind of bouncing ideas, RNGG and Snoop, like, who could play this character? Who is somebody maybe in real life that you had this relationship with or have this relationship with? And he was like, well, Pac. And then it just kind of happened. So again, like, I want to play it. I want to see how it feels. I'd like to see, you know, some actual, like, information on the whole thing. But, dude, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. But I still play the game. I still want to check it out, you know? Yeah. So, all right. But thanks to Sega for giving us the opportunity. And hopefully we'll get to play this game in January of 2027 once it's officially out. Thank God it's away from all the crazies in September.
Oh, man. I couldn't.
All right. So stay tuned. We'll have more content here on Gamer Tag Radio. Thanks, Britt.
Yeah.